are now entering into the most jubilant, exciting time in the church. The church of Christ is being prepared. And he said he's going to show his manifest wisdom to the rulers and principalities through a body of people. That Jesus said, this is my church that I'm building. I'm the head of this church. It might have different locations of expression under different God-setting leadership, eldership. But ultimately, there's one body under his jurisdiction, under his lordship, of which he's the head. And we just happen to be a local expression of the, in the micro, of what's happening in the macro. And I'll tell you what, being part of that church in the last days is the most exciting thing on planet Earth. We've looked over the last few weeks at what the church looks like and what the church can look like. God hasn't called us to be an insipid, weak, fledgling, vanilla-flavored, barely making it along church. He's called us to be more than conquering, ruling, reigning in life, church, walking in his power. But how do we get there? Well, the Bible gives us some clue. Thanks for asking. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, some to be shaking around at the front of the church, to prepare God's people for works of service. Say service. So that the body of Christ may be built up. Say built up. Thanks for your great enthusiasm tonight. I can see you want to make me work hard. All right, you want to be like that? We can work hard. That's God's intent for us, his church, is to be built up. For you and me to be built up. Why? So that we can reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed around by every wave and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, say the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So that was the technology that God designed to bring his body from saved but miserable, saved but in debt, saved but defeated, to a place of saved and walking in victory, saved walking ruling and reigning, saved walking triumphant. He gave to the body the technology to bring them from there and put them over there. That's what he gave as gifts. Secondly, every one of us are a joint, a ligament, a part of the body that as we become flexed and disciplined and strengthened, the people, the body parts around us are only as flexible as we are together becoming strong. If the shoulder's out of joint, the arm can't function well. And this is the picture. So, 2013, you've been invited to the spiritual gymnasium of the Church of Jesus Christ to be built up and nourished and strengthened. You're going on a exercise regimen and a eating plan, and this is what we've been talking about with the leaders to implement into the life that every believer in this church, every part of this family has an opportunity to have a personal coach, that together we may spur each other on. We're not all apostles, we're not all prophets, but we can all do the work of an evangelist, the work of a pastor. We can all prophesy. We can all do the work of the teacher. So we want to, in the life of the church, we're going to draw from a gifted teacher, Andrew Womack, and we're going to be implementing his teaching into the church because we just love the message of grace. But it's a message that provides the exercise and the eating plan for a healthy, strong body. And some of those subjects we're going to be looking at coming up on the board now. As you can see, there are about 20 of these that we're going to be looking at over the course of the next 20 weeks. And trusting God that through these... Okay, just switch off there, please. I don't want the next verse to come up just right yet. Got to remember to put a blank slide between one and the next. Okay, forgiven. You see, if the church is going to show forth the goodness of God and is going to see the goodness of God invade the planet, the church has to grow up. And the church has to become strengthened. Yeah, that you can tell the person next to you, that's you he's talking about. That's us. The body, the ligaments, the joints, the muscles. In order to understand this, I want to just give you a quick synopsis of two kingdoms. Who's here this morning? Okay, let's see how well you remember. There are two kingdoms in operation. There's a kingdom of light and there's a kingdom of darkness. And those two kingdoms operate side by side. So much so that the person sitting in the office next to you might be in a completely different kingdom than you, and you don't even know it. As Jacob said in the wilderness, the Lord was in this place and I didn't even know it. His not knowing it didn't change the fact that God was there. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness are side by side. And the person in darkness might not even know what is right at their fingertips. Like when Jesus said, when he came, he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. But they couldn't see it yet because it was still invisible. It was still in the throes of being spoken into existence as he began to teach a new way, as he began to reverse the operating system of this earth to fit with the standards of the kingdom of heaven. But let's back up a little bit, even before that. And let's look at God's initial plan. His initial plan was for a kingdom to rule on this planet. His kingdom, his family, tribes of believers who worship and walk in faith, walk in right standing with him. And the greatest gift he gave to them was that he created them in his image so that he could have intimacy with them. He could have personal relationship. His presence could dwell with us unhindered, untainted, unchallenged. His presence could be with us, in us, around us. He made us in that league. The second thing he gave us was provision. Gave us his presence. Secondly, he gave us his provision. All our needs, everything we would have in this life for life and godliness, he had created, he had provided. The technologies that we only discovered recently were already in the planet. It just took, because of the fallenness of man and the slowness to learn, it took thousands of years to discover many of the technologies and the quantum physics and the computer technologies that man is now enjoying in the last few years. They were around 300 years ago, 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago. Just because they hadn't tapped into them didn't mean they weren't there. And there's a lot more that God has made provision for everything we need in life. Yeah. And then thirdly, he gave us a purpose. Presence, provision, and his purpose was his assignment to go and multiply and have dominion over the entire planet. A planet which had Satan falling because of a whole cosmic battle that had taken place, which is another chapter of the story. And man was now placed on this planet, which was the pearl of God's creation that was intended for our habitation. This planet, unlike any other planet in the entire universe, is in the perfect position in its solar system. And everything works perfectly for a species like us to exist in the flesh that contain the Spirit of God. But God said, go multiply, take dominion and rule over the planet. And that was his intention. And then a woman came along and messed it all up. No, not really. Well, she did really. The man blamed the woman, the woman blamed... The man blamed the woman blamed the snake never had a leg to stand on. So there was a whole blame game that got passed down. The point is this, that man lost this intimate fellowship, this provision, and this mandate. Man lost the presence of God. He was cut off from the garden, which was a picture of falling from that intimate, glorious relationship. He lost his provision, shown by the fact that he had worked by the sweat of his brow. He had to now devote himself 6 days a week, slaving 7 days a week before he found out that God commanded a rest, or else he would have just burnt out. Because man's occupation now is to put bread on the table. He lives in a fallen world where there's wildness and robbers and thieves and all kinds of drama out there. So his whole preoccupation comes around just working by the sweat of his brow. Lost his God-given provision by faith. And then thirdly, purpose. He lost his purpose. He began to get lost in building towers of Babel in order to bring some significance. Because man, given a little bit of vision, a little bit of resources, can build huge monuments to themselves. And huge enterprises and huge conglomerations that end up monopolizing the world and out of greed, sucking the life of every institution and then playing the numbers game and playing the market game. And people in the street are just the pawns. They just give, give, give and tax, tax, tax in order to keep a government afloat. And they're these conglomerations that are ruled by greed, greedy men and greedy systems. And that's what was left behind as a result of the fall of man. Jesus Christ on the cross said, it is finished. The first thing he did was he restored intimacy and fellowship with fallen man. The second thing he did was he said, I will meet all your needs according to my riches and glory. And the third thing he said was, go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Let me tell you, we're talking about making disciples of a couple of people in a church. He said we should go and make disciples of nations. So how do we do this? Well, I'm so glad you asked. There are two kingdoms side by side. You've got to understand that you have been delivered out of a kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of light. But just because you're in a kingdom of light doesn't mean we are changing the planet. We might just be struggling to get through the day when God has wanted us to disciple nations. We might be struggling to hang on to a job when God wants us to provide employment for thousands. We might be struggling with a cold when God wants us to walk in divine health and the supernatural. We might be living way beyond, below our God-given kingdom lifestyles. And it's all because of the simple fact that in the world system, the fallen kingdom, there was a way of thinking. We were educated in that fallen world system. Now we've got to be re-educated in God's world system called the kingdom. And in that kingdom, it's called the renewing of the mind. It's replacing all the fallen mentality and all the I can't and I haven't and I'll never language, all the stinking thinking, all the half-baked world principles, and replace it with the word of God that comes and re-educates us. And when we come into agreement with that word, it changes our whole world. In the beginning, and I shared a bit, I just couldn't remember the quantum physics bit. I just found this out recently. Is that when God said, let there be, he spoke. That's how the kingdom, his kingdom, came into being. It was through speaking. On the cross, well, before Jesus got to the cross, the enemy said, if you bow down, and Jesus said, it is written. The enemy said, if you worship me, Jesus said, it is written. It's in the word. Jesus was reversing the curse, but he did it by coming into agreement with God's word that was spoken in the beginning. When God spoke, he set out a motion. It says that everything is held together by the power of his word. Now, quantum physics, I believe, I'm not a genius on this one, but at the lowest part of matter they discovered was the atom until recently, the last several years. Now the atom has been further divided into threads. And these threads are made up of parts that aren't matter at all. They don't matter. They're not comprised of matter. They're comprised of vibration. Yeah, that's going off on a whole different thing now. They're comprised of vibration, which is music, yes. But before I get there, I just want to talk about the spoken word. God said, let there be. And it was almost that, because God is God, all he had to say was, let there be. And every every atom, every molecule came into being and is held together by the power of his word, the Bible says. Now Satan comes into the midst of that and he says, did God really say? You see, if we disagree with what God says and come into agreement with whatever the enemy's plan is, that is what is created. And that's the cancer that spread over the planet when man came into agreement with Lucifer. But at the cross, Jesus said, it is finished. And from this point on, fellowship with God is reinstated. Intimacy has come back in simply because we said yes to what Jesus did on the cross. Now we get to live a life walking in his provision. But we don't have to. We can still live by the sweat of our brow. We can still live blaming things around us for our woeful situation. We can blame the government. We can blame our color. We can blame my age group. I can blame if I'm a male or a woman, female, or what, too young, too old. We can blame affirmative action. We can blame I'm the wrong color. We can blame all those things, because while we're blaming, we're not taking responsibility. Because when you take responsibility, you're saying, I have to make a difference. And I do that by coming into agreement with God's word. As long as the things I'm watching and the things I'm listening to are coming to me from a fallen world system, and I allow that education to determine what comes out of my mouth, I'm going to hold myself at that level. I might be saved, I might be born again, blood washed, but I'm living in defeat, sick, miserable, debted, and all the other things, because I've chosen to come into agreement with a lesser kingdom. But when I start discovering, like these 20 points that came up here, truths, Bible, gospel, grace, truths, when I start to get them, not just here, but here. A lot of us have heard these things before. But when what we've heard becomes a knowing, I think that's how you said it the other night, Dave, when knowledge becomes knowing. It's like what we used to call rhema knowledge, you know, logos and rhema. We made that big differentiation, which is really not there. But anyway, it makes a point that rhema revelation we meant is this: when you know that you know. When you know that God's your provider and your words come into agreement with that, you will see provision. When we exchange our old language of I can't and I'm sick and I'm catching a cold with I can and I will and I'm running away from a cold language, it changes our world and we begin to enjoy what the kingdom has to offer, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? So this is the exercise eating program that we need to go on. Might feel like we're going around in circles on some topics, but every time we go around, we're at a higher level. We're at a higher level. We're at a higher level. It's okay to go around in circles, providing you're going somewhere. Amen? So Jesus restored presence, provision, and also he restores purpose. And this is what you really created for. When you were born again, something died and something was made alive. And when that part of you that was made alive discovers your part in his big picture, you will come alive in more than one way. Amen. Let's look at the scripture. Let's read together. For out of the overflow of the mouth, of the heart, the mouth speaks. And oh, sorry, I thought I said let's read together. I must have thought I said that. Did it actually come out? Oh, you heard me say that. Okay. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Or to put a very computer terminology, garbage in, garbage out. When what's filled your heart, when what's coming out of your mouth shows what's in your heart, it means garbage has been put in your heart. But when what's come out of your mouth is righteousness and peace and joy, you know the kingdom is living inside of your heart. Now this is a very important thing to understand around how these two kingdoms work. It was God's word that set in motion his purposes. His word was contradicted by Satan and agreed on with man. Jesus came and spoke a new word. And now, as we come into agreement with his word, our heart is filled with new substance, new technology. And as it comes out of our mouth, we see on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. On earth, that is our kingdom purpose now. You don't know what your kingdom purpose is? On earth as it is in heaven. Starting off with righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. Moving on to healing, strength, blessing, prosperity. Did you say prosperity? I said prosperity. Did you? Are you preaching prosperity? Yes, I'm preaching prosperity. Does that mean everyone have six jags? No, I don't think that's prosperity. I think that's greed and foolishness. But having your needs met is prosperity when you've got enough left over to give to other people. God is looking for generous people so he can pour into their lap, pressed down, shaken together and running over. But when we become mean spirit and stingy and hang on to anything, and then we wonder why we don't have enough to give away, you've just found out. Amen? So coming into agreement with God's word is what sees the kingdom come. The kingdom established. And this is so true of the purpose. Presence, provision, and purpose. Purpose of God for his church is to show himself off, how good, how great, how awesome he is. But it's going to take us getting some stuff in our hearts that will come out of our mouth. Because if we don't get our lives saturated with the truth of righteousness, the character of God, the work of the Holy Spirit, the place of the church and all, if we don't get truth in here, then what comes out of our mouth is breaking down, negative and deceived. And then we wonder why what we've come into agreement with begins to manifest in our lives. And I'm not just talking here tonight about some new age, you know, the power, you know, power positive thinking, mind over matter, you know, out of mind, you don't matter. No, that's not what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about God spoke. And when we come into agreement with what God spoke, when we come into agreement with what God spoke, then our wheels start turning. Ah, did I really say that? That was shocking. When we come into agreement with the word of God with our mouth, the Bible says if we don't doubt in our hearts but believe with our mouth, whatsoever things you say, if you speak to this mountain, can you see a whole lot of words are going on here? Can you see why living in the presence of God is all about praise and worship? Because there's a whole now Michelle, your part comes in. Because when we praise and worship like we did tonight, there's a resonating that is us making declarations into the spiritual world that is the same as when you get a flat tire and you choose to give thanks irrespective of the fact now you've got to change a tire. That's the same kind of praise on Tuesday morning as you had on Sunday night at church. Praise exalts his throne in your life. Worship causes his presence to come on us so we can just bask in his glory. That's how it works. That's his presence. Provision works the same way, but that's another whole topic. Maybe we'll get time on that. But let me say this much. God didn't intend for this world system to hijack you and to rob you and to steal all your time so you've got a pittance left over for the kingdom. That wasn't why God saved you and got you born again and put you in his kingdom. That is the enemy's strategy and plan for people's lives, to get them so focused on the Babel system, on the world system, and they get locked into that, and they think, yo, but this is what I've got to do. I've got to. No, no, you don't have to. You need to find out what God's plan is. Because time and money should work for us so that we can do the king's work and not become a slave to the system. If we're a slave to the system, we're born again, but we're just a slave. And this message is to set free slaves so they can come into a new place of ruling and reigning with Christ. That is our inheritance. Our inheritance is the nations. Our inheritance is to make disciples of nations. We can't disciple nations if I've got an 8 to 5, 6 days a week and half an hour left over for my kids. I can't. Unless God has put me in a place of influence, be that government or corporate, where it's clearly the kingdom is advancing 6 days a week, 8 to 5 every day. But if that's not the case, I'm just a slave. God has restored presence, provision, and purpose. Let me finish with this by saying, his purpose is a big purpose. And you now get a part to play in it. Stretch your vision. You thought you're just hanging on to keeping a little shop going. God is saying, I've got so much more for you than that. I was so encouraged recently having lunch with someone who's got an 18-month goal. That in 18 months' time, his residual income, his salary will be paid by residual income. Is that the right word? So that he can give himself fully to the work of God. You see, that should be in everyone's heart. That shouldn't be unique. Because what God has called us to is bigger than what you're in right now in your life. What you're doing right now is not the whole picture. Stretch your vision. Stretch the tent cord. Stretch the tent. Because the Lord says, I've got so much more. So much more. What comes in, comes out. While I'm the pastor in this church, part of this leadership team, I want to make sure the body comes from babyhood into maturity. And begins to see the kingdom of God invading. Are you in agreement with that? Let's stand up together. Lord, we thank you for this evening, for just a glorious time of worship. Just a wonderful time of praise. Because we've got 5 minutes left over. Dave, don't you guys want to come up? I'm sure we can squeeze one last song out of you. Oh, we're going to take up the offering. Oh, we better squeeze one last song out of you. All those taking up the offering, don't you want to come forward, please? Did you enjoy this evening? Well, then reach into your neighbor's pocket and take out his wallet and give like you were at the best show of your life. Just kidding. Use your own wallet. You know, you say, why are you so flippant about taking up the offering? Isn't it like a holy thing? You know, God's going to look after you irrespective if you're his child. God's going to look after you irrespective if you're his child. Amen? God's going to look after you irrespective of whether you give or don't give because you're his child. But when you give, you get to partner with a much bigger purpose and you become a steward of sowing and reaping. Okay, I'm not going to say any more. Teresa, thank you. Can I take up the offering? Bless you guys as you give. And we're going to have communion.